It's going to be a beautiful day. Sure. Good morning, everybody. Good morning. Welcome to Second Congregational. Welcome to your home, of God's house, for you being the church. We're going to ask the rain to play us into church and then get ready for a beautiful morning together. I'm excited. And we all know prayer works. When I asked last week to pray for our nation, that's the best place to be. Amen? For when I am weakest, the Bible says when you are weakest, He is strongest. Amen? When you get out of His way, it's when He can perform the miracles. Amen? The more you pray, the more you talk, the more you get an opinion, the more you step in the way of God, prevents Him from doing the way you understand what I'm saying? When you are weakest, when you don't know exactly what to pray for, then you know you're in a place where God can fix what you're praying about. I think I ought to write that down. That's pretty good. I think I did. I like that one. When you don't know exactly what to pray for, how to pray for it, then you're in a place where God can actually get it done for you. Amen? And that's why I wanted you to pray for our country that way, because I believe in prayer. We've talked about prayer for 2 years now in the church. We've laughed about parking places, but we get to parking places. We ask for favor. We get people. We ask for healings. We got George. We got Jackie. We got my wife broke her wrist. She's feeling better. We were on an airplane. We pray going down. We pray going back. He answered my prayer. Amen? So now we pray for our country, for the future of us, and not about people, because God's got a bigger answer. Amen? So if you don't know what to pray for, you don't know how to pray, you're in the best place to be. You say, God, bless our nation. Amen. He wants to hear you ask Him. He wants you to humble. Say, Lord, we need help. We need to help since George Washington. Amen. So it's no big thing. We need help. You say, God, we need help. Bless our nation. And watch God work. Amen. And I know we prayed that last week. I'm in the news this week. I saw this and I just smiled because there was a woman by the name of Diane Wright. Are you ready? Have you heard saw it on TV? And this is just making me smile. This made me laugh. She's a stenographer at the House of Representatives. Did you see that? And they had to vote to open the country up again to stop that. And everybody that talks about this woman says, she's a beautiful lady. Oh, God, I love her. She never said anything to offer. Never. They all think she's wonderful. Well, she got up to the podium right there in the House of Congress. She walked over. But I just thought, here we were last Sunday praying about something like that. And on Wednesday, some woman who we've never heard of before stands up in front of the entire Congress telling God will not be mocked. So, and they said this for a mental evaluation. That's okay. Praise the Lord. Let's read together.
How do they get this book that says that everything that has to do with the Lord, and they go to church, they sit there for an hour.
hour need. No, we praise one thing in the house of God. Amen. We praise God in this church. Give a praise in this church. You're doing according to the Bible. You are doing according to the Word of God when you praise Him, when you clap your hands, when you shout to the Lord. Amen. There's a time when you want to be alone with God. You look in your prayer closet. There's a time when you pray that you want to be just you and Him. You might want to spend hours like that. And He loves that time too. Amen. He loves that time with His children to spend. But when you're in His house, when you're out there in the world, you need to praise Him. You need to talk about it. Amen. Let me tell you, there's a lot of people today talking about, you know what, here it comes. The boss praised us. Oh, all arms raised. We need to talk about Jesus, amen? We need to talk about what God does in people's life. We need to lead people to the good, amen? There's plenty of bad out there. But if you don't praise Him, you don't talk about, that's not a good way. Why don't you come to my church and just visit, because it's different in our church. We're family in our church. We laugh in our church. Sometimes we disagree, but we don't disagree about the Word of God. Amen? It moves lives. It brings the church. George, we pray for you and we pray for Miss Pat. We're so glad you're here. Your family wants now. We want your life to change. We want your life to change. 60 years you didn't come to church and not give up this Sunday. In 2 years, we want it to work for you. We want your life to change, so other people can say, "Well, I don't know, that's work. I can't get enough of being around the door. He's something about it. That's a little different." And that's the gift from God. And even the people that you think that we say enemies will come back and say, "You know what, George? Maybe I was wrong about something. Let's sit down and talk, because you're a wonderful man, and you have a beautiful woman who loves you, and you love her, and if you love her, then you have the capability of loving everybody." Amen. And that's what God wants in our life. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. If you pray something, if you play something a little pretty, and we'll just pray. Hallelujah. Just spend a moment with the Lord. Spend a moment with Jesus. He came here today. Never forget to pray for this service. Never forget to pray for your pastor to give you strength and wisdom and hope and faith. I'm a shepherd, and I'm still out of the world with you, and I need your strength and your grace. Keep unity in this church. Keep the armies out of the church. Keep destruction out of the church. This is where unity begins, in this time. Because we are all God's people. He created all of us to love one another. To serve one another. You decided to go out today, serve other people. What will return to you will be so much more. The fighting, the disagreement causes confusion, causes mayhem, and nothing gets accomplished. You witness that in your life. You witness that in the world. You see the world fighting the wars, and people killing people. The same denominations of people killing people, the same ethnic people killing each other. For what? For what? But God says, "Draw closer to me, and I will draw closer to you, and then you die with your children. Make a family with friends, children. I will give you peace." It starts right here in this church. You will find favor with the people you visit, and you will just for strength, for prosperity. So I thank you. Thank you. More of you. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name we pray. Can I get an amen, church?
Need that,
And so I said, well, I better, I'm going to watch this thing. And this woman came on, and she sat next to the woman on the couch. And the woman on the couch said, well, I really don't want to believe in any of this stuff. And the woman proceeded to ask a question. Just a little question. And the woman answered, you got a dog, you got a baby. Oh, okay. You got a woman? Oh, okay. And because I had just studied all week long about this and Nebuchadnezzar and Daniel, it's like seeing somebody do a card trick and you know how they do the card trick, and all of a sudden the card trick is like, I watched this woman. She asked a little question. Answer every one of the questions. She needed something from this woman. She was going to give a fortune. She needed information. She needed a little information to find out where she could go with the knowledge that she was going to bestow on this person. And oh, isn't that wonderful? And I started watching that thing, and this is exactly what we're going to talk about today. And then it said, and I wrote right here, God needs no information. Amen? When you pray to God, He doesn't need any information. He's been there with you all the time. There's nothing you can add. But this woman who said she knows things about the future, and I'm not saying that people aren't like that, and I'm not going to give the devil, I'm just not going to say that he can't do stuff, because he attacks us all the time, amen? And you'll get into what I'm talking about. But she had to get information from this woman to give her the word. This was in the New York Post this week. Just here. It said, it shouldn't have taken a crystal ball to see through the scam. A fortune teller allegedly convinced a vulnerable Manhattan lawyer. A lawyer. Amen? We're going to talk about things. We're not talking about people who aren't school, aren't knowledge. Amen? Listen to what the devil can do. And listen to how he does it. Convinced a Manhattan lawyer of buying a pair of pricey gold Rolex watches, promising that the timepieces would reset the victim's life. Yeah, well, a civil attorney in Greenwich Village was taken out of her life savings and a three-part scheme that netted about $100,000 in watches and cash. The clairvoyant promised to use her powers to reverse a wrong that was committed 3 years ago and reset the time in the victim's life. The woman said, I was brainwashed. You think? She told the Post, I believe her. I'm sure she wanted to bankrupt me. That was her goal. Well, now you kind of say. She said she wandered into the fortune teller shop in Brooklyn's Dumbo neighborhood. That's what it says. Dumbo neighborhood. And the capital V.
She was in my place.
You know, I just thought, Chris, it was, is that a part of her
room? I can only show her.
The woman said, now listen now, the woman said, I had a lot on my mind. Three terrible things happened in the span of a month. How many people have had three bad things happen in the span of a month in your life? Thank you, Lord. George, that's the one that they have. This is why I love God. Wait till you get this. This has had to do with family, love, and career. How many have it with family, love, and career? The woman first ordered to cough up thousands in cash, the victim said. Then on October 1st, brought this woman to the Trudeau store in Midtown to buy $88,000 worth of Rolex watches for her to reverse a wrong that the victim committed 3 years ago. The lady said, I don't wear a designer brand, I'm a frugal person. That's how I save so much money. This was the first time buying a watch over $80. The woman said she had occult powers that enabled her to tell fortunes, and she claimed the watches would reset the time in the victim's life. Now, I'm going to go back and tell you what she said, why she went there. I had a lot on my mind, she said. Three terrible things happened to me in the span of a month. It had to do with family, love, and career. How many think that she might have told the woman that? She might have laid that information out right there. I had three bad things happen in my life. So the clairvoyant already knew where she was going. Satan knew exactly where to go. She claimed that the watches would reset the time in the victim's life. It is true. She was able to scam me into buying these watches. She's just a con artist. Well, hello. I was just in a real vulnerable place. Added that she wanted to believe because she told me, I'm not going to make you feel bad. Some people are just so good at reading people and their emotions. In a way, she's sort of a psychologist. She said, she would say something kind of general and take something very specific. I was desperate for answers. Well, the woman was arrested last Thursday and charged with grand larceny and fortune telling. I don't know how she can be arrested.
I don't know.
She wanted to believe because she told me I can make you feel better. If I ever tell you that I can make you feel better, I want you to stop and say, no, but Jesus can make you feel better. You're the messenger. You're not the one making anything. You're not the one blessing me. Pastor, you're the messenger, amen? You're changing my life by feeding me the word. You're taking care of my life by being my shepherd, by keeping me safe. But you're not the one that can change my life. Jesus can change my life. And when you hear what we talk about, it's God who does the work. You have the food, you have the eating, you have to live it. But God will take care of those things. Amen? Now, how does this fit with us too? It all does in the Bible. If the woman had known one page in the Bible, Marcia, we're going to do it again. One page. If the woman had known one page. Now, in the second year of Nebuchadnezzar's reign, Nebuchadnezzar had dreams, and his spirit was so troubled that his sleep left him. Have you been there? Then the king gave the command to call the magicians, the astrologers, the sorcerers, and the Chaldeans to tell the king his dreams. So they came and stood before the king. And the king said to them, I have had a dream, and my spirit is anxious to know the dream. If she just knew this. Then Chaldeans spoke to the king in Aramaic and said, O king, live forever. And then they said, tell your servants the dream, and we will give you interpretation. Ah. The king answered and said to the Chaldeans, my decision is firm. If you do not make known the dream to me and its interpretation, you shall be cut in pieces and your houses shall be made an ash heap. However, if you tell the dream its interpretation, you shall receive from me gifts, rewards, and great honor. Therefore, tell the dream and its interpretation. They answered again and said, let the king tell his servants the dream, and we will give its interpretation. You understand what I'm saying here? This woman walked into that place and told that woman everything she needed to know. Amen? Then get to you in a minute. The king answered and said, I know for certain that you will gain time because you see that my decision is firm. The king is saying, if I tell you my dream, it will give you time to think of your opinion and try to explain something you know nothing about to me because I gave you the time to do it, amen? I gave you the information to do it, amen? If you do not make known the dream to me, there is only one dream for you. For you have agreed to speak lying and throw words before me until the time has changed. This king who didn't have a measure, didn't know God, didn't follow our God, he was wise enough to know that if I tell you, you're going to tell me back the opinion. If I give you any information, you're going to lie to me. That's what you're going to do. You're going to lie and tell me. He knew that. He knew enough. He said, therefore, tell me the dream and I shall know that you can give me an interpretation. Now, the Chaldeans, by the way, the astrologers, the soothsayers, the magicians, okay, well, that's who they are, answered the king and said, listen to what these people said. This is their job, to be fortune tellers, but if this woman had known this one page and believed this one page, listen to what they say. There is not a man on earth who can tell the king's matter. Therefore, no king, lord, or ruler has ever asked such a thing of any magician, astrologer, or Chaldean. It is a difficult thing that the king requests, and there is no other who can tell it to the king except the God whose dwelling is not with flesh. Amen? They openly admit they couldn't answer what the king's request was. They admitted it. For this reason, the king was angry and very furious and gave the command to destroy all the wise men of Babylon. So the decree went out, and they began killing the wise men, and they sought Daniel and his companions to kill them. Daniel saved the day, amen. Daniel and his three friends pray, and Daniel gets the interpretation from God, amen? Doesn't ask the king, goes to God, amen? Who doesn't need our help, amen? What did we say about God? He doesn't need any information, amen? He goes to it. It's the same way in your life every single day, brothers and sisters. Listen to what I'm saying to you. The devil does not know your thoughts. How many of you do this? You know that? He can't read your mind. He doesn't know what's in your heart. He doesn't know what your thoughts are. He doesn't have a clue what you're praying about when you're praying in your heart to God, when you're praying in tongues to God, when you're talking to God, and you're just in your room, your quiet time, and you're eating like a Nehemiah in a prayer. Just pray. He doesn't know. You know when he knows what's in your heart? You know when he knows what's in your mind? You know when the devil knows how to attack you? Tell me. When you say it. When you say, I can't do this, the devil says, I got it. When you say, I'm worried about this, the devil says, I got it. I can send people now and mess it up bad. Well, I gotta have this operation. I don't know. And they'll say, three people say, well, that's the worst thing I ever went through. Well, I would have done that. And all of a sudden you have doubt, you have fear, you have worry, you have depression, amen? Because you said what the devil needed to hear to find a way. We tell him too many things. We confess our weaknesses to the devil, amen? He can't read your mind. He does not know your thoughts. It's when you tell him. When you say things, when you say bad things to somebody, when you're mean to somebody, he hears that. And he's going to work on that on you, and he's going to work on that with them. He knows he has a place to go. Did you hear what he said to you? He said that. You should hate him. How can you stand and let anybody talk to you like that? And then what happens? You're fighting. You have enemies. You have people against you. Amen? You said something, and the devil heard it and went with it. This woman went to this woman, this soothsayer, they call her clear mind, and gave her all the information she needed to take her for everything that she had. Amen? Woman on the news this morning was it for me? It was to see it and understand and watch and listen. Woman, you got a dog? A big dog. It's very important in your house. You have a boyfriend from my mom. Yeah, give me time. What do you like to do? Well, I'll ask you. Oh, you're going to need somebody jobs. You're going to be, and this is exactly how it went. And I was like, are you really? Oh, isn't she wonderful? She told me I'm going to need somebody to die. I don't give a damn. Amen? It is a difficult thing that the king requests, and there is no other who can tell it to the king except the gods, whose dwelling is not with flesh. You need to trust him. Amen. You need to not speak things that are going to hurt you. Speak faith at every time. Amen. Somebody might come here today and say, you don't have as many people here today as you have a couple weeks ago, so maybe the church isn't doing this. But that's crazy, amen? Yeah? That's a good thing. I see 75 people in the church. I see 100 people. I don't want to know about how many people we have, amen? I see faith. See, something happened. I want to speak faith. Spoke faith over my wife's wrist. The pain was real. The surgery was real. But we spoke faith over the healing, over the plan. We worked. We talked. We spoke faith for George. For Jackie, we spoke faith. Don't talk to him. Don't let the devil know that he can find a spot in your brain. To me, Doug's brother, a miracle, wasn't supposed to be. He's in a nursing home going home this week. His brother John was on ventilator, thank you. And they didn't know if they tried a couple of times to take him off last week. Couldn't do it. It was hard to take him. Am I right, Doug? And now he's in the nursing home going home next week. Because he knows to speak faith. You can tell somebody don't feel good or how it is. We all do that. We all want people to help us. We all want that comfort. But when you say things like, I can't, and won't, I can't change, and I won't change, you got to break. If you say something bad to somebody, the devil goes right to that, and it works on them, it works on the other person, and the next thing you know, speak to him. God can fix it. God will fix it. This nation is blessed. We're not going anywhere. The United States of America is going to be here 100 years from now. We want to see God move. There's no doubt that they try to take God out of things. There's just no doubt about that. We need to pray it to reverse. Amen? That's simple. We don't need to do anything. Just pray that it reverses. Pray that this woman, who they took to a mental health thing, maybe somebody heard her and said, what's she talking about? And they look it up and say, the hospital divided in that sense. And say, well, maybe there's some truth in some of that. Amen? We need more of God. And I said 9 weeks to Christmas because for the next 9 weeks, you're gonna, I already heard that there's a place in that meeting Buffalo that's going to remove Christmas. It's already started. That whole city. So it's going to start here. So as Christians, you can do one thing. I would just say you can go to a store and they don't say Merry Christmas, say, you know what? I really like shopping here, but I'm going to start in stores that say Merry Christmas. I'm just saying, just tell them, if you can do the way you want, but I'm going to take my money and go to a store that says Merry Christmas to me when I walk out. And I'll send my money here. Don't think for a second that the people upstairs won't hear that. And they'll say, maybe we better do something for these people. Amen? Because we let it go so long, we cheer for the Red Sox and we cheer for the Yankees, but we haven't cheered enough for Jesus. Amen? We haven't spoken up. Quiet, loving you. Just matter of fact, amen? Not in somebody's face, but just speak up, say, I think that I'll just go somewhere else. They'll hear that, amen? When you go to work, love the people around you tomorrow. Somebody will see it. You might change one person. That person may change three other people you didn't even know you could reach. Amen? Because God can, and God will give you praise. Romans chapter 8 is one of the most powerful chapters in the whole Bible. Romans. And you know, Paul got to write some of that. He wrote to the Philippians and Romans. And the reason why he got to do that is because he was a Roman citizen. That he had studied, even though he was in prison and he was on chains, and they were reading him. And he looked up and said, are you going to do this to a Roman citizen? They didn't know. Roman citizens had special privileges. Even those in jail, over everybody else in jail. And when the guards found out, that they were afraid that they were going to be punished for doing something to him because he was a Roman citizen. So he was able to get a pen and paper and actually write some of the letters to the churches. And the church that he wrote for the book of Romans, that was a very powerful. So chapter 8 is really powerful. Philippians, he wrote while he was in prison, completely in prison. He found Paul found favor with the gods in prison. So don't tell me God helps you find favor with people. He found favor with the gods. The prison guards who probably wouldn't look at anybody, but look at him, and he got favor for Jesus. He got treated differently, amen. You will find favor if you walk with the Lord. He will bring you to places that you can't bring yourself. Open doors you can't open. And ask him to close doors that you don't want to open in front of you. Amen? You will do that. This is a great time. She had three things happen to her in one month. Bless her heart. If she just knew that one thing, she would know that I'm going to go along with it. I'm going to ask you a priest. I'm going to sit and talk to somebody who knows God. With her. She went to the one place she would get in one. Because she didn't know that one page in the book of